Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Filling in for Sturge, I'm Derek Fogel. Great to be with you. God, we're in the final hour. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the website. There was a lot going on, from Kaepernick to Tua to my big concern for Clemson to the big step backward for South Carolina. A lot going on. It's a Monday. It's, for some people, the overreaction Monday. Not for me. It's just a Monday, and you probably wake up on the wrong side of the bed because it's a Monday, and that's cool. Text in 71307. Start that text with ESPN. You can call anything that strikes your fancy that we're talking about or anything that you think we missed. 844-477-3776. So I'm going to get into here. I love efficiency, but we don't necessarily love it in sports. And I'll explain what I mean in a second. But first, you know, we were talking about this off the air, Diesel. Those mindless things that you forget that you did or you aren't sure if you did, so you have to go back and check. So I don't know if it's ADD or what it is, but I will lock my front door mindlessly. I'll do it, but I won't remember doing it. So, and I'm on a third floor of an apartment complex, so I'll have to go all the way back up to see if I did it. So the way I combated it, because I know you're kind of guilty of doing things like this yourself, the way I combated this was I would say out loud, locked the door, or turned off the stove if I'm leaving or something, or turned off the oven, because I was so tired of making extra trips. So I just like am this automated person now where I'm like, brushed my teeth. It's so embarrassing. I know, but that's what you could do. Because what were you doing? You had to go back to your car twice?
Yeah, well, no. So on Sundays, I open up the gym that I go to, you know, as a courtesy and a favor to the owner. And I had to get out of my Jeep twice yesterday to go back and double check. I locked the door, so I did lock it in the first place. And then I had to get out to go check to make sure that I'd locked it. And then I got back in the Jeep, or I went into the store next door and came back out and said, got back in and said, crap, did I lock the door? I had to get out. I had to get out a second time. So I had to, triple check to make sure that the door was locked.
You got to start saying it.
Yeah, it's just such a mindless thing. I mean, we all have our routines that we get into every single day. And so many of our tasks just become mindless, and you're not being mindful of the event. Or, you know, you'll be driving. So this is where it gets really scary, is when you're driving somewhere and you have no recollection of the actual drive.
Oh, yeah. No, I did. That happens to me way too much. I'm very fearful for what happened in those 20 miles.
You remember the finish, but there's that gap in between. You know you obviously did it.
Where do we go? How do we go into autopilot like that? I have so many questions. It's scary. Also, Texter says Samuel L. Jackson said what he was doing like you in a movie. Can't remember the name. If you remember the movie where Samuel L. Jackson says his actions to remember what he was doing, 71307. Start that text with ESPN. We're on a movie kick anyway. So, yeah, there's my advice for you, Diesel. Just say it out loud. Locked the door. Turned off the oven. I forced my girlfriend to say, unplugged the straightener, because I swear to God, it happened like half a dozen times where we're halfway to wherever we are. And she's like, did I unplug the straightener? Because, you know, those set fires. So,
yeah, for me, it's the oven. I've had to get, I live two exits down the highway from the radio station. I've had to turn around. I was on the exit about to turn onto Woodruff Road where the station is. And I had to turn around and go back to make sure that I turned the stove off. Because in your mind, if you don't go check it, it's going to mess with you all day.
Oh, God.
So you just got to go do it.
No, not handling that anxiety, not doing it.
It's not like an OCD thing. It's just the fact that we're doing things just so mindlessly now.
Yeah. And it's Texter says the long kiss goodnight. That can't be right. That sounds like something that's a movie. You IMDb that. I'm going to get into this sports topic because this is a sports radio program, even though we are acting like it's not. So let's get to this. I love efficiency in my life. I'm almost obsessed with it. Like when it comes to going to get groceries or you got to do errands, I'm going to park here so I can get in there, walk to this store next, do that. What's the shortest way, the fastest route? I'm kind of obsessed with it that way. But when it comes to sports, it's kind of a reason why we hate players nowadays, because the efficiency isn't always pretty, or at least it's not the way that the sport has traditionally been played. Technology and data in sports has undoubtedly changed all of them. I think it's easy for us to say that. And does that mean that we are seeing the best product in sports because of the data? Arguably, probably not. In a game like baseball, we're seeing more strikeouts. There's less balls in play. Or if they are in play, they're just pop-ups. And what does that go down in the scorebook? It's a 4. It's 8. It's 9. It's not 6-3 on a ground out. There's literally less action, but there's more home runs. But there's still less action in betweens. Or football, there's more penalties than ever. There's more creative offenses. There's less defenses. We devalue positions like running back because of the way the efficiency of the game is turned into passing. Or the NBA, fouls are ugly. It's a lot like college basketball with the ugly foul rules that they do to create more offense, and then there's no defense. And that's created more offensive efficiency. It's supposed to be more scoring. But the change in the rules have created players that more so adhere and thrive in them, but we don't like it. James Harden gets a lot of heat for his style of play, but he changed his game for the rules. And you say, well, he made this two-step, that's a travel. Well, he's following the rules, and he's become one of the best scorers ever. Or even like Christian McCaffrey. He's made himself more than a running back. You never ask a running back to be an all-purpose player like he was. If they're able to be good out of the backfield in the passing game, then it's just a plus. But he made himself a model running back, a model all-purpose player. Now there's going to be people that are trying to be Christian McCaffrey. Or look at baseball again, Justin Verlander, teaching an old dog new tricks. He changed how he pitches upon getting to the Astros, and with batters wanting to use launch angle and all that, and he decides to pitch up in the strike zone and take advantage of it and get more pop-ups, and then he wins another Cy Young at 36 years old. Verlander and McCaffrey are not really hated like James Harden is, but mobile quarterbacks always catch flack because it's not your typical quarterback play. Like, look at Lamar Jackson. I am not really a huge fan or sold, and I look stupid because he's in the MVP conversation, especially after what he did yesterday. But the way that he plays is atypical. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, they're not well-liked for that atypical style of offense that they lead. Joey Gallo, Texas Rangers, doesn't hit his weight, but abides by the rule of data with due damage and nothing else matters. And it drives people crazy. He hits close to 40 home runs, but he hits, you know, a buck 98. Who cares? He's doing damage. And that's the analytical player that we're looking for. We hate to see it, but it's technically the way that the game is going, the direction it's going. We don't really like change. I'll be the first to admit that. I don't like change. I am the youngest version of Old Man Yells at Cloud. I have no streaming services. Disney Plus comes out. I don't care. They are saying they're going to, what are they going to do now? Like Netflix and Nickelodeon are going to pair together. I don't care. I actually have Netflix because my girlfriend has it. I've watched one thing on it. That documentary Game Changers. It's the one about plant-based diets with athletes. Really interesting. We can talk about that later. But I think it's really something that I've found when I'm watching, whether it's the NBA or college basketball's had to change a lot, and that's a little different. But the NFL and baseball, the players that are trying to evolve with their games and with the analytics are the ones that are moving forward. Christian McCaffrey is the best example of it in the NFL. Lamar Jackson and being built around him, and offense being built around being more mobile, or even Deshaun Watson. That's progressive. James Harden, one of the best scorers in the game, what he's choosing to do. Everyone hates it in the NBA for some reason. That's not how you win championships. Well, he ran into some of the greatest teams ever in the Golden State Warriors. There were some flops in the playoffs, sure, or at least definitely against San Antonio like 3 or 4 years ago. That's not the point. The point is he's become one of the most prolific scorers ever by doing what he does. So we don't like the way that analytics have made us understand the efficiency in sports. And also rules have changed. That doesn't go downplayed. I can't downplay that at all. The NBA has become totally offensive, has become all about the fouls. The NFL has become, look at what's happened with roughing the passer. They are doing everything to minimize the defensive player with the lowering of the head rule, which fortunately doesn't get enforced too much, or they at least got the point across to try and do it less, and so they're flagging it less, maybe. Games have changed, yes, but our understandings of games have also gotten better and evolved, but we don't necessarily like it because it's not how we found the fundamentals of the game. And that's also the very interesting aspect of this, is when it comes down to the playoffs, the big moments in all sporting events, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, it all comes down to the fundamentals and the basics. The analytics only work up until that point. You look at baseball, all these teams that are analytically driven, the A's, even the Astros, even though they cheat, they're all about, right, like what's going to do our best through 162? In basketball, what's the best through 82 for how we structure our offense? Once it gets down for baseball to winning 11, for basketball to winning a series, you can throw those out the window. They don't work when the pressure is in and the time is now. When the time is now, it's the fundamentals. What do football teams do? Got to run it. Ground and pound. You got to trust the run game. You got to trust hard-nosed football. That is what it always goes back to. You can say, oh, well, the big passes and everything else. But if you're going to control a game and win a big game, what do you have to do? You have to establish the run game. That'll never go away. In basketball, what is it? Oh, it's 3 and D. Yes, it is. But also what's important, it's the guys that are getting the boards. It's who's winning the war in the paint. It's who's able to get the easy layups. That's the fundamental of basketball. For baseball, what is it? Oh, it's strikeouts. It's getting the big swing in the big situation. It's being able to bunt. It's being able to steal. It's being able to play good defense. It's being in the right places to give yourself the best opportunity. It's all about where that defense is set up. It's about how, it always comes down to the fundamentals. And that's the weird thing. The analytics have made these players. They form a new generation of players. And then we'll see how it works when it comes down to playoff time, when it comes down to the big moments. We're starting to see it pan out more. But it's definitely an interesting thing in sports that I've noticed. Maybe I've turned your eye to it. Maybe look for it. Maybe find another one of those players that we love to hate just because they're playing by the new rules of the game these days. And I'm with you. I already said it. I don't love change. But that's kind of how it is. Derek Fogle filling in straight up with Sturge. Coming up next, your reputation precedes you, and it's tough to leave behind. I'm talking about career-defining plays for Myles Garrett, but also a quarterback with his first home start in the NFL. What he did. That's next, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You want to chime in? You can find me on Twitter at Fogel Said What. That's F-O-G-E-L Said What. Of course, you can text in 71307. Start that text with ESPN. Feel free to call 844-477-3776. Thanks for the people that have called in. Let's look back. It was Todd. It was Kevin. It was Bill. It was Keegan. It was another Kevin. A lot of Kevins. That's all right. We need some Daves in there. Where are the Daves out there? Shout out to anybody named Dave. Maybe give us a call. Texters trying to help us out here on when we actually have to say things out loud to remind ourselves, locking the door, turning off the oven. It is, I guess, a long kiss goodnight with Samuel L. Jackson. So that's fun. Thanks for letting me know that I was doing a Samuel L. Jackson move. I had no idea. I was just trying to combat my ADD or whatever it is that allows me to mindlessly forget if I'm locking the front door, which actually... I don't know if I did thinking of it. I hope I did. I'm pretty sure I did. Usually when I get down to the bottom of the stairs and I have my key still in hand for the front door, I just assume that I did it. So if I go home and nothing's in my apartment, I guess we'll find out the answer. Anyway, so look, there are some career-defining plays out there and your reputation precedes you and it is tough to leave behind. And what that actually makes me think of initially, being a reporter, I've been fortunate enough to cover some really fun baseball teams, some good baseball games, and in having the playoffs, you have fun report or fun expert analysis come in, and those guys are always former players like, or managers as well, like Joe Girardi, which he's actually a really great guy, fun to talk to, but also A.J. Pierzynski. Now, if you're a baseball fan, you might remember A.J. Pierzynski for punching, I think it was Jason Barrett? Michael Barrett. That's it. Michael Barrett with the Cubs. This was the White Sox-Cubs rivalry back in like the early 2000s. It was a great brawl in baseball that still gets brought up for that rivalry. And that's the one thing that A.J. Pierzynski is always remembered for. He was kind of a jerk when he played. He was the guy that you loved to have on your team, but everybody else hated him. His reputation definitely preceded him. People would go out of their way to not talk to him in the press box. I can tell you that from just being up there, but having talked to him, he was a really nice guy. We had great conversations about coaching youth baseball, but the problem is people are so unwilling to move on from what they saw from him in his career. Well, Myles Garrett and everything that he did on Thursday, it's going to be hard for people to move on from that. That's a career-defining play. It's a lot like Ndamukong Suh. You know, everybody wanted to talk about who was at fault, and I don't really care at this point. I think they both were instigators in a way. Ultimately, Myles Garrett was in the wrong, right? He just swung a helmet at somebody. That could have really hurt him, and it's pretty ridiculous that it got that far. And I know you could possibly be in the moment, but you still have to have that peace of mind to walk away. And that's the hardest thing to do when you're on a football field and you're told at the end of the whistle, you can't football anymore. How hard must that be? Very hard. Like, oh, the whistle blew. I can't football now, but I'm going to football for the other time. I'm going to smack somebody. Nope, not now. The whistle blew. That can be hard. Fine. He's in the wrong. Yes. But I don't care what the suspensions were. people won't forget this. People won't forget Ndamukong Suh trying to kick. Who was that Lions? No, it wasn't the Lions quarterback. Or was it? He was with the Lions. Doesn't matter. He tried to kick a quarterback in the nether regions. He did kick him. Right? And he's had that issue where he stomped on that player's arm. People don't forget that. So, you know, that's what people are going to remember him for. And it's too bad. There's also funny plays that people remember for, like the butt fumble. Mark Sanchez will never move on from that. And he even had a good laugh about it with a reporter that had to ask him about it. And this is what, almost 10 years later, people will never forget it. But plays that define your career and your reputation are ones that you'd usually like to be more positive. It's harder for them to be that way. They usually have to be in an incredible moment. But, I mean, people will remember a catch that was made in a game. People might remember, you know, a big hit, but this is one of the things that it's going to be near impossible to move on from, because we're in an age where people love to commit character assassination. So this is unforgettable. Miles Garrett helmet weapon is forever going to be something that people will make a joke about, will reference if he becomes a free agent, or if he gets injured, someone's just going to go, oh, well, karma, which I wouldn't do if I were you. It's asking for bad karma for yourself if you're rooting for someone to get hurt. Never do that. It's also just not classy. But this is one of those unforgettable things, especially in our day and age. And, you know, injuries also can define your career as well, unfortunately. I think of, this is one of the worst ones I think of, when even just not necessarily a big injury where we remember, oh, Willis McGahee had his knee go the other direction when he was playing at Miami. That's, you know, one of the most horrific ones that we've seen in a while. Those happen, and those are tough to forget. But an injury-prone player like Marcus Lattimore, I always will forever feel for that guy. He just was so talented and could not catch a break when it came to his knees. I mean, it's one of the most unfortunate things, the one guy that can't stay healthy. It's kind of like the guy that you just couldn't win a title for. I think of Brian Urlacher with the Bears. I think of Andre Johnson with the Texans. I think of Tony Gonzalez when he was with the Chiefs and even the Falcons. Just guys that you wish you could have had a title for. Those are the things that define your career. Miles Garrett had his career-defining moment in the worst way. But the good news is you can have your career-defining moment amidst all the muck. And that's something Dwayne Haskins might have done. Now, he's in a horrible situation. you know, we talk about it come draft time. What's the best situation for a player that happened? We happen to talk about that a little bit. It doesn't happen enough when we're evaluating talent, especially quarterbacks. Like, well, this guy went here. This guy, if you look at the Browns quarterbacks, right, the list is endless. And you're like, oh, well, all these guys were bad. Well, what would they have been if they wouldn't have gone to the Browns in that era? No one knows. But a bad situation can really create a career or kill a career, which might happen to Dwayne Haskins with the Redskins, unfortunately. But nonetheless, he is there. He is trying to get his team to play for him. And it's hard to hear. There's a longer soundbite from the local NBC TV station that they were on the sidelines for some reason. I don't know how they got this clearance to be there, but they caught him talking to his offensive line. And here is what he said. I think this is a career defining moment for Dwayne Haskins. He says, what do I have to do to help you? What do I have to do? There's more. It's like a minute long, and there's some cursing, and it's kind of hard to hear because there's something going on. They're announcing something. And there's obviously a break in play, but he's like, nah, forget. Well, bleep that play. What do I have to do to help you? And I mean, his line is basically non-responsive, and they're just kind of hooked on this one play. One thing went wrong. Maybe he got sacked. I don't know. I don't pay attention to Redskins football because it's that bad. But he is trying so desperately to have his players play for him, to have his line block for him, and have give him the opportunity to have a career. And that little snippet right there might just be what we remember Dwayne Haskins by. because the Redskins are so bad, because the situation is so bad. He might not get another opportunity. He might get hurt, given he's begging his line to save his life. He just might drown in that situation. And it's really too bad. But the leadership really is impressive. If there was ever a reason that somebody wanted to give a guy another chance, yeah. I mean, maybe. He doesn't look great. And no doubt, teams feel an obligation to see their investments through. And I just said it for Kyle Allen for the Panthers. They need to give him a chance. There's growing pains that happen. I don't think Haskins is necessarily the guy either, but that's really not the point. His career-defining moment is him begging for Redskins players to play, and they're there for a paycheck because they know how bad the organization is, because they know how bad the team is. How sad is that? That's rough. It's not as bad as Myles Garrett. You'll never forget that. That is something that will live in infamy in a way. It will be on that Albert Haynesworth. It'll be on that Ndamukong Suh B-roll for dirty plays in the NFL forever. One of the most unforgettable, well, you would hope that it would be forgettable, but it's just one of the most unforgettable moments. And what's really surprising, too, is he had just done the ESPN body issue. Like, he just had kind of come into his own. His mom wanted him to do that. It's really weird. Anyway, I wouldn't do it. Like, it's different if you're in a guy's locker room, right, and at the gym. It's like, okay, yeah, dudes change. This is where dudes change. But if you're the only naked person in the room, that's kind of different. So that whole thing is weird in my book. But he just had seemingly also gotten, you know, a little bit more steam, a little bit more of a fan base. Like, maybe he's likable. And then he did something like this. And then people want to just assassinate that guy's character and not allow him to move forward. There are things that deserve second chances. And, you know, being caught in the heat of the moment is one of those really tough things that sometimes the severity of the action determines if you get a second chance. On Twitter, we have G-Man Bills fan adding to the list of movies that we always have to watch when they come on. Remember the Titans. That's a good one. That's a good one. I respect that. Back to the conversation I'm currently having. Texter says, great players who defined by not winning a championship. Charles Barkley, of course. But I kind of wanted some more likable guys. Well, not that Barkley's not terribly harsh. He's just kind of a really vibrant goofball now. But yeah, he's definitely defined by not winning a championship. No discredit there. I just meant more likable characters in the game. But yeah, also in the NFL, Dan Marino and Barry Sanders, for sure. Those are some good players that are defined by not winning championships. It's one of the, you hate to see it. And that's so unfortunate about the way now, I think, just that's how we define players. We find those worst moments and we never forget them. We refuse to forget them. We harp on them. Anything Myles Garrett does next season will be in the wake of his suspension. Everything from the beginning. I mean, it's the only conversation that's going to happen in Bills camps. It's that talent can't find its way to break through, which is really too bad. Like, you don't have to be a Browns fan. If you're a football fan, you should just want it to break through so that way you have something more entertaining to watch. That's where I'm at least. But that'll be the only thing they're going to ask him when it comes to training camp. Like, how are you moving forward? He's going to have to hide. There's no way people forget it. Dwayne Haskins is going to be known for begging for his players to play for him. Please help me. It also makes the Redskins look really bad because no one wants to play for him. It furthers them into the grave that they found themselves in. They need a total overhaul. When you think that an organization, like, oh, it's too high up, it's the owners, it's the front office, that doesn't impact the players, the locker room, it totally does. If you talk to former players in the NFL, it's really interesting what they say about that and the way that it finds ways to trickle down. There's really small ways that it impacts teams, like just even just an attitude. It's really interesting. I don't want to really expand on it because it's not my expertise, but that does exist. And so that was just the thing about the whole helmet weapon Steelers-Browns game on Thursday that, you know, amounted into this huge character assassination of Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. Well, he needs to suspend this guy, suspend that. Here's what matters here. Now, what my takeaway was, is that was a career defining play, and you really hate to see those because they tend to be negative. Even if you like the players, like we can't forget that Marino and Sanders and Barkley didn't win. Also, players' worst moments defining, same texter, thank you. Ben Wallace and Ron Artest, Latrell Sprewell being defined for their worst moments. You hate to see it nowadays. Like Tua and Bo Jackson are in a realm of their own with these hip injuries that we will never forget also. Nothing good. Nothing good. That was my takeaway. Didn't care about the suspension. It's just look at what we're doing now. We need to try and have some better moments to be remembered by. All right, coming up next, filling in, Derek Fogle, that's me, filling in for Straight Up with Sturge. There are some weird fan bases that exist in areas where you feel like they probably shouldn't. Now, we know why that can happen, and if you don't, I'll explain it to you next. But there was one poll that was up on ESPN Upstate's Twitter, at ESPN Upstate, that really surprised me. And Diesel, you're going to have to help me out on this one. That's next. ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Man, we just had one of those conversations that we probably shouldn't have on the air. That was between breaks, but I want to share with people because I feel like people would be interested. I guess that's what podcasts are for. Maybe I need to have a podcast with just all the inappropriate things that come out. We'll work on that.
Here's what you do. You just record the stuff in the breaks and just edit that into a podcast.
That is gold.
And that way you don't have to do any additional work. You just record it off the air. You record what you say off the air.
You know what? It's minimal work and it accomplishes the goal. So I'm in. I don't know how we do that without going on the air. But we can figure something out. We'll figure that out. You know what social media is good for, aside from the things that it's horrible for, which we don't need to go down. That's a dark road. So some of the things it's good for is the fun stuff, which is Twitter polls. I'm totally here for them. Really enjoy them. If I had a consistent show, which I guess I should have started doing polls today because I'll be with you through Wednesday, and I should have been doing the polls because then you can read the results and it's always really fun and they can be a poll about just about anything. I like when you do it where it's like, is Diesel an idiot for saying this, yes or no, and you totally forget what they say.
The answer is always yes.
Yeah, and then you have a random answer. I love doing that, and you need the continuity. And I guess I should have been doing it, but oh well. Upstate had a great poll. I don't know who this came from. It must have been, I really don't know. It could have been from anyone. It was at 9 o'clock at night 5 days ago. Ooh. But it says, right, so it could be anyone. Which NFL team would you say is simultaneously the most loved and hated in the Upstate? Options, Panthers, Cowboys, Steelers, Packers. 124 votes, not bad. We could do better. Needed to pimp it out a little bit better. It didn't get retweeted or anything. But 2% for the Packers, 11% for the Steelers, 21% for the Panthers, and 65% for the Cowboys. I feel like the reason why people click that is because they hate them so much. But at the same time, the people that love the Cowboys are really quick to say that they're Cowboys fans. Like, in Houston, I can tell you the Texans are not the most loved NFL team there. The Cowboys are, because when the Oilers left, people still wanted the NFL and still wanted football. Well, they turned to the Cowboys or they followed and became Titans fans. But the Cowboys are the most loved team in Houston, I would argue, over the Texans, and people are quick to say it. I think that's just how people are with that fan base. Anybody is when you have when you claim yourself to be America's team, you're going to have that kind of ego. But that's surprising to me. Why? Like, okay, hear me out. I understand why you have Braves fans all over the country, because TBS, and that is where they broadcast the games, and everyone all over the country got to see. Same reason why you have Cubs fans everywhere. You had WGN, which they're no longer on, unfortunately, and the 120 games. It was the game that was on WGN, and you could watch it. It'd be on at the golf course. It's people became fans. It was on everywhere. And then even Louisville. You know what I'm trying to say. Louisville. The Cardinals. They actually were the first college brand to become the Thursday night team. That was something that was structured by ESPN. They needed to create a fan base somehow, and they needed to create a new day for college football. And this was something that happened years ago. It was actually an incredible article and something that I did a project on in school when I went to school for broadcast journalism, and they created the brand that Louisville has. So, like, when you were able to watch that on a Thursday night, people become familiar with you. So it's this really interesting thing that we've, you know, media has been able to create pockets of fan bases everywhere. I just don't understand how the Cowboys became that. I know they had a lot of success in the 90s, and that kind of reverberated in the way that the Steelers had their glory years, the Steel Curtain. And so you have Steelers fans that are everywhere because they did so much winning. And even with the Patriots, you could say that. Here we go. Texter says Mark Ryan made the poll. He said there were absolutely no Cowboys fans in Houston or Tampa Bay. He's wrong. Yes, there are a lot of Cowboys fans in Houston. There are a lot of Cowboys fans everywhere, clearly. But see, the Steelers, I understand why they're on this list. The Packers, I understand they're a classic old football team. So you're going to get some followers because of the history. The loved and hated thing about the Panthers, you know, I could be wrong here, Diesel, and if I am, please say so, or even if I'm not and you agree with me, just give me your opinion. The Panthers kind of fall by the wayside a little bit to what the college game does in the Carolinas. Is that accurate? I feel like it's a college football area.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And you really can't say it's because the Panthers are new anymore. I mean, they're not new.
And it's not because they're bad. 96,
I think, was the first year of that franchise. And they've done pretty well. They've been pretty inconsistent. You'll have one or two great seasons and then fall off hard. And I think that's probably the biggest problem with the Carolina Panthers, is that there's no year-over-year consistency of being a 10 or a 12-win kind of team.
Dude, they are literally good every other year. If you go look, they go 12-4 to, like, 7-9 routinely, back and forth. It's hilarious. But I think this is the first year to break the trend, because they had weren't they 7-9 last year? This should have been a winning season. I said chalk them up for 10 wins, and now they're looking at 8-8. So I guess it was wrong, but still, the area is more served for college football, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, like, that's not a misled fan base either. If there was, like, the Steelers, that's a bit more random. You're still kind of close. Let's go to the phone lines, because Billy's calling in. He's got some, please tell me, Billy, you have some reasoning for whether you love or hate the Cowboys, one or the other. I hope that you love them and you have a reason, because I'm really confused as to why you do and you're in the Carolinas.
I love the Cowboys. I'm 49. I've loved them all my life. I started watching them in 74. I can remember back to some of those times. And the reason that let me explain that why that happened in the Carolinas. I can't speak for nowhere else, but I know for a fact this is what happened here. If you go back into the 70s and early 80s, there was three channels here that aired over there, right? It was ABC, NBC, and CBS. Well, CBS had the NFC games. ABC had the Monday Night Football games, and NBC carried the AFC games. Well, here locally, WSPA in Spartanburg, the CBS affiliate, and then the one up in, I think it's WBT TV up in Charlotte, that bleeds over into our area. every time Dallas was on, they had them on when they didn't have the Panthers. And even if you go back far enough, even before the Falcons, they would have either the Dallas or the Redskins games on at both of those two channels. And that's how there's so many fans of those two teams in this area. And I can kind of get the Redskins because, obviously, Washington, D.C. bleeds over into the upper part of North Carolina, the far northeastern part. So it would be an obvious choice, especially when there wasn't a team in Charlotte or a team in Atlanta. I don't understand how Dallas became that team. I know how I became a fan just from watching them, and they were so successful back then, and I never separated myself. But this is still true today. If you go to a Dallas game when they're either in Atlanta or Charlotte, I went to one probably the last one I went to was about 15 years ago. I took my son and my brother to a Dallas game at Charlotte. And one of the people who have PSLs there that actually goes to all the games, she turned around and looked at us and she says, "My God, there's more Dallas fans here than there is Carolina fans. I can't believe that they sold all their tickets," talking about the Panthers fans. But it was true. And the same thing happened the last time I went to the Georgia Dome when they were playing down there some 15, 20 years ago. So that's how it happened in the Carolinas. I can't speak for nowhere else. But Mark Ryan was the one who made that poll, and he told a lie on air. I'm not trying to call him out, but the truth is the truth because you just verified what I thought. I've been to Houston plenty of times, and there's plenty of Cowboys. There's more Cowboys fans in there than there are Houston Texans fans.
Yeah, there are. That was a really good call, Billy. Thank you so much for the call. That's like your educational rerun of why the Cowboys have prevalent fans there. That's really interesting. It really just had to do with who carried what. And I understand that, having come from a market in Southern Illinois, we chose to run the Rams because we were 2 hours from St. Louis, actually 5 hours from Chicago. But since we were in Illinois, we also would run the Bears on another station. It all just depends, and I know half the people that heard that phone call were rolling their eyes at a Cowboys fan, which is funny. I thought it was interesting, though, as to why you'd be a Cowboys fan in the Carolinas. There you go. And it doesn't necessarily mean there's a traveling fan base. It just means that they grew one there because a radio station carried the team. So there you go. I hope I didn't ruin Mark Ryan's conversation he wanted to talk about America's team tomorrow. Hopefully I didn't just ruin it for him. But that was an interesting call. Thanks again, Billy. Thanks to Kevin and Keegan and Todd and all the other callers as well. Filling in straight up with Sturge, Derek Fogle, great to be with you. I will actually be with you tomorrow and Wednesday. So if you didn't get in today, feel free tomorrow. I'll tell you a little about what I've got planned for the next couple days next. That's what we will get into. And streaming services, help me out. Maybe I'll get one. I'll ask you about it next. ESPN Upstate. All right, so Disney Plus came out. I'm not a streaming service guy. But do I need to be getting one? Like, am I a caveman for not having a streaming service? I don't have Hulu. I don't have anything. I only have Netflix because my girlfriend, I think it's her parents' account. So, I mean, Diesel, what streaming services do you have, if any? Because I do straight up cable.
I only pay for Hulu. I've got a shared Netflix password. I've got a shared Amazon Prime password. Granted, it's my girlfriend, so, we're both in the same household.
Yeah.
So that's not that big of a problem. And she's also got a shared family HBO account. So, yeah, it's sort of a hodgepodge of all of them. It's amazing, though, how much it changes your viewing habits. If you get used to the whole Netflix model of I can binge watch an entire show, it makes it impossible to go back to the weekly schedule. It's so hard. It's almost like off-putting. Like, really, you're going to make me wait a week for an episode? Who do you think you are? I don't have time to sit around and wait. I don't have 6 months to dedicate to this show. Just give me all the episodes at once.
Yeah, I get that. I guess that's probably why I don't want to get a streaming service at all, other than just having the Netflix and maybe watching it every now and then. Did I just call it the Netflix? Oh, God.
Oh, my God. You're old now.
I'm one of the olds. No, I think that, like you're saying, it's easier to binge. I don't think I want to be able to do that because I would do that. I need to get out of the house more. So I think I might stay away from it. It's just, I'm not a Disney Plus person. It's not like I would want all the old Disney movies. It's just, it brought up to my mind, like, oh, I still don't even have a streaming service. I watch old-fashioned cable. And it just, you know, I wasn't sure if I needed to get one. But maybe we'll see. We'll see. Maybe if I I have a hodgepodge of jobs I throw together to make it work. Maybe if I had a decent, steady salary, I would buy one. But until then, we will see. Hey, I'll be with you guys again tomorrow and Wednesday. And tomorrow, there's definitely some things I want to get to. I want to test your Southern hospitality. And as that surrounds things like Will Muschamp, we'll talk about that. And also, a really interesting article was written on ESPN about Scott Frost, his situation with Nebraska, and how much time he's getting. He actually got an extension. But this article brought up a really good perspective in trying to regain glory days because, you know, they had it when Scott Frost was quarterback. Well, Will Muschamp isn't far removed from the Spurrier days. And there was this really interesting comparison and also some precedent that I think helps open the window to understand what to do in the Will Muschamp situation and what South Carolina should do when you're one of those programs that has exited their glory days. It's a really interesting conversation, and I'll get more into it. It was a really lengthy article, like really long. So the fact that I spent all the time reading it means we have to talk about it, guys. Okay, that we have to talk about it. And then also, you know, why not? College football, the preseason top 25, where are they now? We will discuss all of that tomorrow, straight up with Sturge. Thanks for joining me. Derek Fogle filling in, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.